We had a happy, wonderful life together. 25 marvelous years.
Oh, that's good. I wonder why she never mentioned it.
Well, people don't want to hear about those things. I mean, do you think that we would have been allowed to continue to work as school teachers?
Well, why not? I mean, that don't affect the brain, does it?
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days. And you knew when you were.
Hello and welcome to Gayest Episode Ever, the podcast where we talk about the LGBT-focused episodes of classic sitcoms, which is to say the very special episodes that also happen to be the very queer episodes. I'm Drew Mackey.
I'm Gina Davis.
You're not.
Oh, I'm Glenn Lakin.
Yes, though Gina Davis is aspirational. We all wish we were Gina Davis. She's awesome.
The best.
In case that intro did not tip you off, we're not talking about Gina Davis at all today. We are talking about All in the Family. Specifically the episode Cousin Liz, which I think we're going to call Edith Bunker's cousin is a lesbian and dead. I don't know.
I mean, that's better than some of the titles I thought in my head that were probably offensive.
Cousin Liz is a les?
Yeah. Or just Cousin Liz?
Well, I mean, so this is a lesbian-themed episode of All in the Family, I guess Gayest Episode Ever, too. Did they name her Liz just to set up that joke?
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
I watched the entire episode being terrified of when that joke would come in. And then I was like, oh, maybe they're not going to do it. And then they did it.
So overall, what did you think of this episode?
I loved it.
Yeah, I loved it too. That's my only real criticism where it's just like, oh, come on. It's not especially clever. This is a famous episode of TV. It's one of those episodes that people will bring up in top 10 lists of like important episodes of All in the Family. And it's really good. And it's... reminds me how this show is good at doing really simple things. It's a three-character episode of TV. I can't remember the last episode of TV I watched where there are essentially only three characters.
Well, there's that poor old man that Archie makes move off the couch.
And there's the woman that Archie yells at for, like, eating too much and touching the silver.
Yeah.
But, like, essentially it is, like, a three-person play.
Yes.
And really just one short scene and one longer scene in two rooms, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a lot in that little space.
Yeah. Is this our second episode of All in the Family?
It is. And funny you bring that up. One of the things I wanted to talk about at the top of this episode is just in case people that did not hear us address certain responses we got to the previous episode of All in the Family.
Death threats.
No. Shitty criticism from people who dismissed us as being snowflakes, basically, who were too focused on being politically correct to be able to enjoy All in the Family. Or people criticized us for using the standards of today to analyze the episode.
Which is the point of the podcast.
And kind of impossible not to, since we were not alive when it was initially on. And unless you're saying that people can't talk about culture that happened before they were born or conscious, that's stupid.
Museums would have something to say about that.
Yeah, it's really dumb. The thing that we possibly did not make clear is that we're not saying that Archie shouldn't, like, we understand that All in the Family uses Archie's ignorance to, like, teach lessons about ignorance and why you should be, like, make an effort to educate yourself about, like, things you don't know.
Archie is satire that some people took to heart.
And even if we're saying that we understand what the show's doing with Archie and, like, how they're using him to, like, teach the audience about stuff, we still don't actually have to find him funny. And in this episode, I don't think he's funny. He gets laugh lines, and I think Edith is funny, but Archie doesn't really make me laugh. And, like, if you want to say I'm being overly sensitive about that, that's fine. He doesn't really make me laugh.
Oh, yeah. He's not particularly funny or particularly anything in this episode. But, yeah, he's not really my type of character that I would find engaging in any way whatsoever.
You wrote a character in your movie who had made some decisions that, like, are not decisions that you, like, people would object to those decisions. And he's not so much of a jerk. I don't know. And it's also weird because Carol Connor is doing a good job in this role. It's just the characters. Yeah.
Well, some people certainly had opinions about the character in my movie.
That's true. They didn't get it. Or they didn't get what you were doing.
Some people did. Some people didn't. Whatever.
So we do have to own up to one thing. One thing we legitimately did not understand when we did the previous episode is that the theme song is ironic. So all the things that they have nostalgia for are things that actually weren't great. And that's the irony. We did not get that and expressed confusion about that. Someone did point that out to me. Yep. Screwed that one up. The rest of it I stand by. I think it's a good episode.
And you don't want to say screwed the pooch? Because Thurman's in the room?
I don't like that. That's a weird expression. I don't like it. There is one thing about All in the Family and Archie in particular that I kind of still have a problem with that I didn't bring up in the previous episode. And that is, like, a big part of the humor with Archie is that he uses malapropisms. He doesn't know the word for things. And
Knave
and Yamaha instead of Yamaka. I don't actually think that's funny. Like, it's like a step above a pun, but like, I've never found that to be particularly a source of comedy necessarily. Like,
I mean, it works in this context because he thinks he's so much smarter than Edith.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses these words to sort of make her feel smaller when really he's just showing his own ignorance.
Okay. Oh, that makes sense. I didn't think about that. My problem with it is that you could read it as Archie is ignorant, but there is also a certain sort of person who would watch that and be like, Archie's stupid, and might think that the bigotry is something that would only occur in a stupid person. And like, educated people can be horrible bigots too. There's like a shred of that in there that like sort of bothers me, that like someone could watch this and think like, oh, they're saying that like this stupid person is racist, not this racist person is racist, you know?
I didn't really ever read it as them saying Archie's stupid. Like, his ignorance and bigotry just sort of drown out other qualities that you might read into the character.
It's true. They do a good job, actually. I think for the most part, you're not meant to think that Archie or Edith is actually stupid. Archie's ignorant and Edith is child. She's kind of ignorant in her own way, but it's a lovable ignorance, more of a childlike ignorance, I guess.
I mean, I was trying to think if naive actually is a good word for her. And it's just, she's just such a go along to get along character,
mm-hmm.
that it's hard to make a lot of judgments about what's down deep in her, because she probably keeps a lot bottled up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sure we've all had older relatives, grandmothers, aunts who, you know, didn't always speak their mind when they probably had a lot more intelligent things to say than a lot of people in the room.
By necessity.
And also just, that's just sort of how culture was for a time.
If we do another episode of All in the Family, it'll probably be the one where Beverly, the either drag queen or trans woman, depending on how you choose to look at the character, is murdered and Edith questions her faith in God. So that's an episode where Edith gets deep on stuff that, or I'll be very heavy. This episode is not so heavy. It's a great showcase for Jean Stapleton, who is amazing. She never plays her too stupid. She never plays her too childish. She stands up to Archie in this episode, which is great. But at least watching her, I want to believe that there is like a spark in Edith that she will never let Archie like stamp out, even if he's being a jerk.
Yeah, it's one of the instances where a character on TV, where their simplicity, for lack of a better word, right at the moment, like because she views the world in a lot of simple ideas,
mm-hmm.
that actually works in her favor for grasping something like, oh, well, two gay people can just love each other. And it's kind of like how two married people love each other,
mm-hmm.
and the genitals don't matter.
Like, right.
It's not about their genitals. It's about how they feel.
The way she comes around it is a lot like how people describe kids understanding like same-sex relationships. Be like, oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. Like, it's pretty straightforward. You don't really need to get any deeper with it if you don't want to.
Yeah.
So Jean Stapleton has been in a ton of stuff, but I was looking at her IMDb page and I've not really seen most of the stuff she's done. Like, she did like an episode of Everyone Loves Raymond, Murphy Brown, Caroline in the City, Grace Under Fire. Just a lot of the stuff I happen to have not seen her in. She was supposed to play Mike TV's mom in Charlie and Chocolate Factory. She dropped out due to commitment with All in the Family.
Hmm.
I also found out that a very famous show with a female lead character was designed with her in mind. And she eventually said no, and it went to someone else after All in the Family. Can you guess what I might be talking about? Like, iconic.
I'm thinking.
And the role is very strongly associated with the actress who took it today.
Murphy Brown.
That would be amazing. No, Murder, She Wrote.
Oh, my goodness.
She was the original choice to be Jessica Fletcher. I read an article in the Christian Science Monitor with the creator saying that they sat down with her and she was into it with hesitations. And then as things rolled along, she said no and they had to find someone else. And that ended up being Angela Lansbury. But and there's an alternate universe out there where we've got like nine seasons of Murder, She Wrote with Jean Stapleton.
That'd be a different show. To be fair, I am picturing Edith.
That would also be a very different show. Not an unentertaining show. Oh, I wanted to quickly talk about the live show. Since we did the last All in the Family episode of Gayest Episode Ever, there have been two live performances of it. I saw both. You saw the first one.
Yeah.
We both say thumbs up. Good stuff, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. The episodes are very well chosen to highlight the parallels between our current time and All in the Family. So mm-hmm. they don't feel particularly dated, and all the actors, you know, really sort of throw themselves into the roles and seem to take it seriously, but not in a way that makes it unfunny.
Marissa Tomei playing Edith is, I was thinking about it this morning, she's really good. Her walk is like this loping stride that's not quite what Edith actually does, but it evokes her in a weird sort of way. I would compare it to Drew Droege playing Rose in Golden Girls Live, or like Chloe Sevigny or something, where it's like an impression of this, but it's not actually the thing, but it works. Yeah.
Yeah, she walks like a cartoon character who's being pulled along by the scent of a pie in the shape of a hand.
Yes. Yeah, I paid extra special attention to the way she moves in this episode that we watched to compare it. So yeah, I like that. The episode they did for the Christmas episode was a Pinky Peterson episode. Pinky Peterson is one of Archie's friends. He actually doesn't show up in that many episodes, but the character is played by Kevin Bacon in the live version. And in the run of All in the Family, Pinky Peterson was played by Eugene Roach, who played Officer Jerry in that Give Me a Break episode we did.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was actually just thinking about that Give Me a Break episode. It was like 5 minutes ago while we were talking.
It was a really good episode. A lot of people said that they weren't familiar with Give Me a Break, really, and didn't know much about Nell Carter, but still really enjoyed our episode about it. Thank you for listening to that.
Maybe they should give a rate and review.
That's a great idea. Let's say that at the top of the episode for once. Those are helpful for all the reasons you've heard on every podcast ever. I know that my Laura Palmer music in the last episode, there was Laura Palmer music in the ad segment, did get us one review who noted the Laura Palmer music. So I want more famous TV shows to be restaged the way they're doing these Norman Lear sitcoms. It's not quite the same because Norman Lear is its own thing, but it would be cool to see like Family Ties or Golden Girls or other shows like that.
I mean, it depends. Like, they work better when they are like two-act structure. So like, I'm thinking first season of Cheers would work well, but that has a lot of extras.
It does. Maybe we haven't put quite enough distance between the actual run of Cheers. I don't know.
No, we have. We're just old.
Okay. I also would be down to see, like, do you remember when Lifetime did the all-black version of Steel Magnolias?
Yes.
What if they did that with Golden Girls? I would watch that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't like that remake of...
I think most people did not like the remake, but the idea was awesome, and you could put really interesting spins on content by recasting them that way.
Yeah.
I do not think they should do an all-white version of 227. That would not work. People would not want to see that. But I think Viola Davis could do a mean Dorothy.
As in, like, good, because Dorothy is kind of mean.
She could nail that character very well. That would be the hardest one to cast in my head, and I want her to do it, but we'll see.
Well, that just gets into a debate that we are not equipped to have about, you know, making a quote-unquote black remake of an existing property versus just giving black actors an original property to work with.
That's true.
Well, original stories to tell.
If someone made a show about four African-American ladies living in their senior years together and functioning as a, like, chosen family unit, I would also watch that show.
Yeah, it'd be amazing.
Yeah. This All in the Family episode aired during the age of Anita Bryant, to give some context for what was happening and what they were commenting on. It aired October 9th, 1977. It was the third episode of the eighth season, which means there were just one more season after this before it became Archie Bunker's Place. And the following year, in 1978, there was the Briggs Initiative, which was sponsored by conservative Orange County State Senator John Briggs, which sought to ban openly LGBT people from working in state schools. The episode re-aired shortly before the vote. It lost. 58% of voters rejected it, including Orange County itself, which is kind of surprising.
Yeah.
And my home county, which I was very happy to see that it's not the most progressive place in the world, especially back then. They voted against it.
Perhaps anew, you were coming along.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate that. John Briggs actually came, like, still was very conservative, but came around on gay issues later in his life and said that it was a world different place and culture has changed, and he criticized the Reagan administration for not doing more to address the AIDS crisis. Fascinating.
Yeah, that is correct.
Mm-hmm. This episode of TV won the Emmy for comedy writing in 1978, beating out an episode of MASH and two other episodes of All in the Family, one of which is the episode we will eventually do where Edith loses her faith in God.
Both were eighth season?
Eighth season.
Huh.
Yeah. So they really packed those gay-themed episodes all on the tail end of the show.
Well, I mean, I really think of them more as Edith episodes, so I can see why she would go on to leave the show next season.
She did show up periodically on Archie Bunker's Place until she was like, I just don't want to do it anymore, kill me off, and they did. It's heartbreaking. Also, that episode is a Christmas episode, so if we're looking for a gay-themed Christmas episode for 2020, we could do that.
Why don't we do it for this past year? We just forgot?
I don't think I realized it was a Christmas episode until I started doing research for this episode.
It worked out for the best. I got to draw a horny Mike Brady.
And the Brady Bunch episode did really well, even though it was not really an episode of TV and not the gayest thing in the world, but you still listen to us, so thank you. That year, All in the Family won for Best Comedy Series Emmys. Best Comedy Series, Lead Actor in a Comedy Series, Lead Actress in a Comedy Series, Supporting Actor in a Comedy Series went to Rob Reiner, and Sally Struthers was nominated for Supporting Actress but did not win. It also won for Outstanding Director in a Comedy Series for Edith's 50th birthday, which is the episode that airs right before this one. Edith is 50. That is how old Edith is in this episode.
Yeah, one of the first thoughts I had while watching was like, I wonder how old they are and how close in age they are to us.
Yeah, I mean, Carol O'Connor looked old our entire lives, so it was weird that he was not technically an old man when he filmed All in the Family. He just looks that way to us and kind of got locked in our memory that way. I couldn't get Nielsen ratings for this episode, but I know All in the Family was the sixth most popular show of the 77-78 season, ahead of Little House on the Prairie and behind Charlie's Angels. It was directed by Paul Bogart, who did a lot of TV work, including all the episodes of All in the Family seasons 6 through 9. A few episodes of the first season of The Golden Girls, and he also directed the movie version of Torch Song Trilogy.
He's given us so much.
Really has. Story by Harve Brosten and Barry Harmon. Brosten wrote for Jefferson's and All in the Family, and he wrote A Friend in Need, which is the episode of Jefferson's that aired in the first live performance, paired with the All in the Family, the one where Wheezy hires a maid. And then Harmon wrote the premiere episode of The Jeffersons and a lot more. Teleplay by Bob Schiller and Bob Weisskopf. They're a writing team who wrote for I Love Lucy together. And Bob Schiller is the father of Tom Schiller, who's one of the founding writers of Saturday Night Live. Bob Weisskopf is father to Kim Weisskopf, who wrote for a bunch of episodes of Married with Children. I think that's all the backstory I have. I think we're in scene one in the motel room with Archie and Edith.
Hot.
It smells, apparently. It smells bad.
Archie has a lot of opinions about motels. Mm-hmm. He does not like them.
Edith is just delighted by the fact that a motel room exists, and she doesn't understand why the guy at the desk asked if they only wanted it for the hour.
I hate motels. What was that creepy desk clerk whispering into your ear there?
Oh, he asked me if we was going to use the room for more than an hour. I wonder why he asked me that.
Because whenever we check into a motel, you stand around looking guilty.
Call front desk if you wish to see today's adult film presentation.
Forget that.
Today's movie is Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Look at the way they spell bears.
So that means it's B-A-R-E then?
I'm guessing. So it's just condomless porn, but like, it was the 70s.
Yeah, so no one was using condoms.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's weird to think of like a bear pun in a porn title and it's not gay porn. They're in town for a funeral.
Yes.
Do you have any reach around?
Yes.
Okay, go for it.
I'm assuming you're going to talk about how Archie hates open casket funerals.
Yep.
I better fix my face first.
Well, don't rouge it up too much, Edith. You ain't the guest of honor. I sure hope it ain't one of them open casket affairs, you know? I hate looking at somebody who ain't looking back at me. And then, too, you never know what they're thinking, you know?
How could they be thinking?
And Edith, don't try to make sense out of every little thing I say to you. You're married to a guy that has a lot of deep thoughts, you know?
Yeah, I do have a retron. Archie hates open casket funerals because he hates looking at someone who ain't looking back at him. Kind of like how lesbians would not be attracted to him.
Oh, that is good. I did not think about that. That makes sense. If you can't reciprocate, he feels uncomfortable and powerless.
Yep.
Yeah.
Why? What was your reach around for it?
No, I didn't have anything for it. I was just hoping you did.
And I did.
Yeah, you did. Way to go, Glenn. So we start talking about Cousin Liz, who Archie recalls as being the only good egg in the whole barrel of apples of Edith's side of the family tree.
Yeah, and he apparently made out with her.
Poor Liz. She was so beautiful. It's too bad she never got married. She didn't have any fun.
Well, listen, lady, not every girl can be as lucky as you, you know? And being so beautiful, you know, she could have probably got herself a wonderful fella. Oh. For instance, I don't suppose I ever told you this, but like me, I once had a kind of crush on her, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What did you do about it?
I kissed her.
Is that all?
Yeah, she wouldn't do nothing else.
What point did he make out with her? Because, like...
Probably while dating Edith, but not engaged or married, I would hope.
Yeah, I hope so, too. Yeah, I wondered about that, because there's seemingly no way he would know Cousin Liz without knowing Edith first, but...
But I guess I don't really know how Archie and Edith met.
I don't either.
Like, on the Felicia Rashad show, Cliff and Claire grew up together, even though he is a bit older than her. And so they have sort of a shared teen experience and we're in the same neighborhood. So there were girls that Cliff dated that Claire knew.
Okay.
So it could be that sort of situation where they just all sort of grew up together.
It was Riverdale? They're all not the show, like the actual Archie comic version of Riverdale. Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of murder. And bisexual lighting in this episode of All in the Family.
And cults, and maybe like a gargoyle. Maybe magic exists. We don't know.
We are not current.
No. If someone
We've not watched the season yet.
If someone wants to tweet at me and tell me everything that's happened in season 3, I would appreciate that.
We're at season 4, I believe.
Cults? Oh, you're right. Griffins and Gargoyles was season 3.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. It's interesting that it is Edith's cousin because Edith has another famous cousin who is Maud, and... Maud is not mentioned in this episode, and Maud, not only does she not come back for Liz's funeral, she never comes back after she gets her own spinoff, and it's a weird trend in this universe where characters tend not to cross back. Once they get their own thing, it's kind of separate. So, like, when Florida spun off from Maud into Good Times, she never saw Maud again. Those characters never interacted. There is one episode where George Jefferson comes back late, like, next season on All in the Family. So we see him once, and then... On the Jeffersons, when Marla Gibbs, they tried to spin her off into her own show called Checking In, which was her working at a hotel, and then it just tanked. It didn't do very well. So they actually explained in-universe that the hotel burned down, and Florence is
Did she die in the fire?
No, she's back. She comes back. But like they had to explain, like, well, you're back after like a few weeks, and that's it.
I bet the Ropers are jealous of that situation.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. I like that they saved Marla Gibbs because you don't want to lose her, but yeah, poor Ropers. Is there a gay episode of the Ropers?
I'll look.
Okay.
I would love to talk about the Ropers.
Yeah. So yeah, Liz never married.
Lives with her friend Veronica. They were both teachers and both spinsters.
Wait, do you think maybe my head's stuck in Riverdale? Do you think because it's Liz and Veronica, Liz is short for Elizabeth.
I don't think it's not Betty Veronica. No.
Okay. It might be. Betty's and Veronica's go together.
Yeah. But I think as we've already established, her name is Liz because she's a lesbian.
Right. They wouldn't pack two meanings into it. So this is when the Yamaha malapropism comes up.
Oh, look at this. Look at this. You remember where I wore that?
Oh, yeah. Stretch Cunningham's funeral. Yeah. That's... That's your beanie.
This ain't a beanie. You know what the Jews call this? A yarmulke. Poor old stretch. And everybody down at work loves stretch so, you know? And we never got a chance to tell them.
Wouldn't it be nice if Stretch Cunningham and Cousin Liz met up in heaven? Oh, I think they'd like each other.
What good would it do to them?
What do you mean?
Because when they're up in heaven, they ain't got nothing to do nothing with, you know? Ain't you never seen pictures of angels flying around in the churches there? The only parts they got is the wings. See, the rest of them are smooth. That's another reason the angels ain't ashamed to fly around naked.
They have a very specific idea of what heaven is.
Yeah, Archie says that they wouldn't get together because angels don't have genitals. They're smooth down there.
Why does he say that? That's a weird thing to say.
You may be thinking of cherubs, but there are plenty. What's that Kevin Smith religious movie?
I lost that bit of information.
Angels in that universe also don't have genitals. I think it's a pretty common thing that angels don't have genitals.
He thinks people who die become angels?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that works. You become like a spirit, but you're, whatever. And Archie wonders if it's weird that he wonders if Cousin Liz might have had any money stored away because she was a school teacher for like 25 or 30 years. And was like, they still didn't make much money back then. It's not. Yeah.
And it is commented on that teachers don't make any money.
So she must have saved a lot of money, you know, and you being her closest living relation there, you know, if you follow my meaning.
Oh, Archie, I don't want to talk about that now.
Edith, all I'm saying to you is that you stand to collect here, you know? I mean, maybe she stashed away a boodle of dough there for her old age, which she ain't gonna have now because she died.
Oh. Huh? She didn't have much money, Archie.
What do you mean? What expense could she have? All them years sharing an apartment with the other old maid school teacher, Veronica Hooses?
Well, that's why they had to share it, because there was teachers. Teachers don't make much money. Look at Mike.
Don't make me think of him and a corpse in a one day, will you?
They don't talk about how she died. I'm assuming cancer.
Yeah, it's weird that this is all centered around Cousin Liz, and she's a complete void in the episode because we don't know. We've never heard about her before and don't know anything subsequently. So Edith doesn't want to talk about money, even though she's allegedly Liz's closest relation. So I guess all their parents are dead and Liz didn't have any brothers or sisters that she talked to. Edith says they were like sisters, even though they were cousins in school together. And then Edith points out that teachers make so little money, in fact, that Liz and Veronica had to split their apartment together.
Yeah, we're getting plenty of hints.
Mm-hmm.
That something might be up with Veronica and Liz.
I think like the surprise would probably be a lot bigger to like the audience back in the day who had no idea they were watching a gay episode till it turned gay. But
yeah.
So they are all dressed. They head out to the funeral. Archie comments that we're the only people who use this motel to put on clothes. And then he messes up the bed because he wants them to think they are a proper heterosexual active couple.
Yeah. I thought he was going to mess up the bed just so that he would get the turn down service, which he feel he paid for.
That makes sense too. But no, he's concerned with appearing normal. That's very important to him, as we'll find out shortly. So here is where they leave the motel room and go to the place where the rest of the episode happens, which is the wake. It's not where the ad happens, but we're about half an hour in, so we should probably take an ad break right now.
Okay, bye.
You kind of jumped on that very quickly.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, Glenn, do you want to hear what people are saying about us online?
I guess. I mean, yes. What are people saying about us, Drew? Why don't you read us some reviews?
That's good. Should we say that we're not working from a script this time? Should we just say that?
No, I think they know.
We're doing an experiment where we're going to see if we can not have me write a script for an ad on the same day I edit the episode. Because
then me make changes, kind of like, this is better.
Now you can just make changes on the fly. But it didn't work for getting me out of writing because I had to write all new compliments for the box of compliments.
Oh, fun.
I know. So those are brand new and there's no Halloween ones in there this time.
Cool, cool, cool.
But yeah, what people are saying about us online, we got some reviews and they're negative.
Okay. I mean, that does not shock me.
So we're going to share our negative reviews and encourage people to write positive reviews to balance them out. We got one that says, I cannot condone a podcast that endorses sodomy. Hey, boys, how big do you think the podcast market is in hell? 0 stars, you're Aunt Fran.
Oh, okay.
That's not bad. That's not that bad.
No.
Yeah.
I was wondering if she was going to ask how big some dicks are.
I don't think they allow you to ask that in iTunes comments. I feel like there's probably a filter that prevents that stuff from getting in there, you know? I listened to an episode of this show thinking I'd receive a more enlightened perspective than you normally hear on a two guys in a basement style podcast, and I was sadly wrong. These two dum-dums have no right to say that Shelley Long was a superior comedic presence to Christy Alley. Christy is the superior of the two. After all, how many stars has Shelley Long starred on? And which of the two was runner-up on Dancing with the Stars? That's right, Christy Alley, who has also never looked better. Did you see the October 2019 cover of In Touch Weekly? Christy rules. Shelley lives in a house that needs a new coat of paint. Not that I know, because I've never been there. No stars from Real Rebecca Howe 112.
Well, Rebecca, joke's on you. This is a guest house, not a basement.
No, Shelley Long is the one who lives in... Oh, right. Yeah, no, I see what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's clearly wrong. And then finally, gayest episode ever makes me want to barf. Drew and Glenn have the worst taste in TV shows because they never talk about Canadian sitcoms like Sorry, I'm a Homo and The Only Lesbian in the Northwest Territories. Their Americentric view on queer culture makes me think they are both low-key Republicans. Negative 12 stars, which I didn't know you could do.
No, they probably hacked the system.
Yeah.
We probably should do a season of sitcoms abroad.
Well, we're going to do Absolutely Fabulous coming up. But
oh, true.
If you have picks of gay sitcoms that don't suck, tell us about them, because there's a good chance we've never heard of even Canadian sitcoms that might have done a decent gay episode at some point.
So, Drew, for our unscripted experiment, you decided to script some fake negative reviews?
Why would you think they're fake? They'll probably be taken down by the time this episode goes up, because I'll alert iTunes to the fact that we were being harassed. Yeah.
So Patreon.
Okay. Patreon. We had a good week. We got 3 new people, and that means 3 new compliments from the box of compliments. And these are all new compliments that, as I just said, I just wrote just now. So if they're bad, then it's not my fault.
It's somehow my fault.
And I'm tired. Okay. So everyone who gives us money at the $3 or more level gets a on-air thank you and a compliment from the box of compliments. And the 3 people getting thank yous and compliments this week are starting with William Bolton.
William, you should get your own spinoff.
Oh.
It probably wouldn't last very long. Sorry, William. Sorry. They can't all be Frasers.
Ian Gibb, who we've thanked before, but who raised his contribution from $5 to $10 a month.
Oh, he wants that horny art.
Yeah.
This is Ian.
Mm-hmm.
Ian, I love you like Alf loves hot pussy, meaning cats. If you just wrote all these, how come some are in pen and some are in pencil?
Because the pencil broke. I don't have a sharpener in the house. This has been a busy day. I'm very tired. Finally, thank you to Chris Ramirez.
Chris is a snappy as lava from Cheers. Oh, what name is this? Carla.
Lava.
But Chris is as snappy as Carla from Cheers, but of normal height. We don't know if that's true, and it's sort of...
We also...
what's normal? You mean average?
You can reach upper shelves at the grocery store without asking for help.
Okay.
Yeah. We don't know if he's snappy either. It's just kind of a big gamble. But thank you anyway. If you want a confusing compliment from the box of compliments, please go to patreon.com/gayestepisodeever and give us at least $3 a month. You can also just give us $1 a month and we will be thankful for it, but we won't thank you by name on air. Once again, patreon.com/gayestepisodeever or click the link in the show notes.
Please do that.
Mm-hmm. Glenn, what are you going to do the rest of your night?
Not this.
Yeah, keep going.
I'm going to go back to my room and work on a special surprise for our 50th episode.
Which is not a joke, actually. That's really true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look forward to that.
What are you doing with the rest of your night, Drew? Why are we making this ad longer?
I'm editing the show. I should probably go back and edit now. Okay.
Yeah. It seems like you're just procrastinating.
Yep.
All in the Family was recorded on tape before a live audience.
And I don't talk to any of them anymore. They're awful people.
I mean, I guess we can be back.
Yeah, we can be back. Welcome back. You're at a wake.
Surprise.
It is a drab, greenish brown apartment. At least the living room is. And I am reminded that, I don't know if we talked about this in the previous All in the Family episode, but one of the things Norman wanted to do with the aesthetic of the show was only use colors that were a little washed out looking to evoke the feeling of looking at old photos in a family photo album, which he does very effectively in this scene.
Yes.
Yeah. There's very rarely like bright blues or reds or anything. So Archie makes his way to Veronica, and Veronica is played by Kay Callan. Do you recognize this woman?
Kind of.
She played Martha Kent on Lois and Clark.
Oh.
That's probably what she's most famous for. She was in American Gigolo, and she's done, she was in like Veep and How I Met Your Mother more recently, but people will probably most immediately recognize her as the grandma from Knives Out.
I've not seen it yet.
I know, but other people have, and she plays a small but pivotal role. But she's done up in like older lady drag than she actually is in real life, and she's virtually unrecognizable. She's a very pretty actress, kind of along the lines of Lois Nettleton, who played Dorothy's lesbian friend in that Golden Girls episode. Like strong and confident and sort of an every woman. Like, they took care to not make her too beautiful or too not beautiful or...
You're talking about this episode, not her other appearances.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. In this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's very relatable, every woman. Which I guess, what you hire Kay Callan for. This is when Archie comments on how expensive the funeral must have been, and she points out that the teacher's union insurance paid for the whole thing, which, awesome.
Veronica goes to comfort or greet, mingle with the other guests, and Edith and Archie get into a conversation about the sterling silver tea set that is not far from them.
Well, there better be some cash, Edith, because I don't see nothing around here that we could use, you know? And borrowing a 19.5-inch color TV over there with the remote control and the magic eye tune in it, and a hi-fi CO in the
corner. Archie, we shouldn't talk about that now. Anyway, some of these things must belong to Veronica. The only thing I see that's coming to me is that silver tea set there. Ain't it beautiful?
If you like tea.
It's been in our family for 100 years.
Well, I know it's old, but still it's got to be worth something.
See, originally it belonged to my great-grandmother on my mother's side, and when my great-grandmother on my mother's side got married, she got it as a wedding present from my great-grandfather's brother on my father's side. Then when my grandmother passed away, she left it to cousin Liz's mother on my mother's side, and that killed my mother's home.
I'll take my life, Edith. I'll take my life.
My grandmother's on my mother's side. So Aunt Lucy promised. Do
that. I ain't interested in a silver tea set there, Edith. You're the next of kin. It'll come to you when you get it. You turn it over for $10.
Oh, it's worth more than that.
$12.50.
No, that must be worth at least $2,000.
$2,000, get that.
Sure, that's real antique sterling silver. That's worth a fortune these days. But I ain't gonna sell it, Archie. It's gonna stay right in the family where it belongs.
There's a trip to California on that tray.
And she goes into that story twice.
Do you make anything of her desire to, like, recall the history of the tea set in her family, and both Archie and Veronica kind of like stop her short from going into it?
No, that's it's something that the matriarch of a family would do. Like, mothers typically are more nostalgic for family history and knowing the details of a family tradition or an item that is important.
Yeah, this is information that's very important to her. She values family stuff, which is why she makes the decision she makes later in the episode, because she realizes that family is very important to her.
Yeah. Archie just sees the tea set, and once he finds out it's probably worth $1,000 to $2,000, he sees it as their trip to California.
Specifically, he wants to go visit California because if it's not this, is he gone? Mike and Gloria might have moved out by this point. I actually don't know if that's season 8 or season 9, but they end up in Santa Barbara. And there's a Christmas episode coming up in the not-too-distant future where it takes place in Santa Barbara, because they finally do go out to California. I think it must be the next year then. Also, Sally Struthers got spun off into her own sitcom, Gloria. And Rob Reiner's not there because something happened. Like, Meathead leaves Gloria for some reason.
Oh.
Yeah. Veronica pulls Edith into a very pretty blue bedroom that matches Veronica's dress color very closely.
It's all blue.
Probably intentional.
Ain't this lovely?
Thank you.
Was this Liz's room?
Well, this was our room, Edith.
Oh, you shared the same bedroom.
We shared everything. Would you sit down, please, Edith?
Thank you.
At this point, there is a reaction in the audience. It's not bad. It's just like a vocal, like people are just figuring this thing out, but not everyone does.
We shared everything. Would you sit down, please, Edith?
It's only a few people who are like, oh. So this is an interesting thing where at what point do you think the audience is supposed to figure out what's going on even while Edith has not yet?
I think that's the point.
Okay.
The we shared everything.
So in talking to Edith, Veronica explains why she might want the tea set. And it's not anything to do with the monetary value of the tea set.
Edith, I couldn't help overhearing the conversation between you and Archie about Liz's silver tea set.
Oh, it's beautiful, ain't it?
Yes, it is. It gave us such pleasure.
I'm so glad.
Every afternoon after school, we'd spend a leisurely hour having tea. And no matter what, we always had that hour that belonged to just us.
Oh, that's nice.
And I know it's very valuable, but it means so much to me. I was wondering if maybe I could keep it.
Oh, well, I don't know.
I'd see that it gets back into your family.
Oh, it's been in my family for 100 years. See, originally it belonged to my great-grandmother on my mother's side. And when she was married, it was a wedding present from my great-grandfather. Oh, I'm sorry, Veronica. I didn't mean to upset you.
Earlier, when Edith and Archie were talking about the tea set, you saw that, like, the actress did a very good job of showing the horror and heartbreak she had on her face, realizing that she would lose the tea set like she had lost Liz. But yeah, Veronica does the best she can trying to lead Edith to the cool pond of me and your cousin are lesbians without startling her.
Edith, your cousin Liz and I were very fond of each other. Extremely fond of each other.
Oh, I know. We was too.
You see, we loved each other.
I know. We loved each other, too. I can remember when we was kids in school, we was like sisters.
Oh, no, this wasn't like that. We loved each other in a different way.
Hmm? What way?
Well, this was more like a marriage.
A marriage? Oh, but it couldn't be. I mean, you and Cousin Liz was both get.
But eventually, it did have to be a little bit more upfront. And we were treated to a double comedic reaction from Edith to the gay news. These sort of reactions that are typical to most of the shows we talk about.
Yeah, it's good facial acting. They hang in it for a long time.
And that's, a long time.
That's actually, I can't imagine it would be comfortable to do that sort of thing. Of course, I'm not an actor. And that's actually how they go out of the episode. And the line that causes the reaction is Veronica says, it was more like marriage. Let's see. More like a marriage. That face, all in caps. And there's laughter and applause. Probably because they're going out to commercial. But the audience does pretty well. I'm always like concerned about how the audience is going to react to stuff. And there's not gaffes. People don't seem like they're horrified.
No one's booing.
No one's booing. And it's been 7 seasons since. I think the audience has a different reaction in the first All in the Family episode we do. And I think America's changed a little bit. And maybe that's why the audience reacts better. Veronica says that we had a happy, marvelous life together, 25 marvelous years. And he says, I wonder why she never mentioned it. Which is kind of illustrates why Edith is a beautiful person, because she's so pure with her emotions. She does not actually quite understand that the implications of what's going on.
I mean, it's how she can stand being married to Archie.
Yeah, that's true.
Because she just overlooks the cynicism and the things people say.
Yeah. And then Veronica specifically mentions that if people knew about the relationship, they would both potentially lose their job as school teachers.
To which Edith says, that don't affect the brain, does it?
Which is really funny.
Yeah.
That actually made me laugh out loud. So good job, Jean Stapleton. And then she says, I wish you hadn't told me this.
Oh, Veronica, I wish you hadn't told me about this.
So do I.
Oh, no, I didn't mean that. I mean, it's so sad. It must have been terrible loving somebody and not being able to talk about it. You can have the tea set. I mean, it belongs to you. You're really her next of kin.
Oh, thank you, Edith. Thank you.
And again, it's too pure. She wishes she didn't know that just because it makes her sad that her cousin that she loved.
It must have been terrible loving somebody and not being able to talk about it. The episode is full of lines from Edith. They're just like perfect lines, like boiled down, like the sadness of two gay people having to hide their relationship.
I want to make a supercut of all the exchanges she has with Veronica and go back in time and play that, like when people were voting on Prop 8 and that one Golden Girls scene. Like, this is as good and as relevant, and it's just very simply stated, which seems like I'm selling it short, but like it's a very simple episode and they handle the subject matter so well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess Edith is probably kind of conservative. Like, she's religious and she is married to Archie.
Yeah. I mean, it's a brand of conservatism that, you know, doesn't really come up a lot these days, and she gets into it a little bit later when she's talking to Archie about this information. But, you know, there used to be a type of conservative who had personal beliefs about personal things and didn't as much care how other people led their life.
I mean, that's kind of at the heart of what like limited government should mean in a practical sense, but that's kind of not where we are right now. Yeah. And then Archie comes into the bedroom and Archie's talking about the tea set again.
Edie, you know something? You were right. That's very valuable. I turned it upside down. It says silver underneath there. You know what you are? You're a Harris, Edith. Huh? Hey, California, he might come.
Oh, no, Archie, now we ain't going to California. Archie.
She's like, Edith, you're a Harris. And there's a woman in the audience who, like, repeats the word. She's like, Harris. And it's not loud, but she's in there forever now. Stupid audience member just had to speak out of turn.
You're a Harris, Edith. Huh? Hey!
And you can hear her reacting.
She loves it. Is she eating it up?
I don't know if she loves it or if she's like rolling her eyes or like if she's correcting him or something. But it's interesting that like, well, you got in there. You're forever part of this episode. Thank you, studio audience member.
It was me.
Time traveling Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
Your voice is not that high.
Yeah. Time traveling has had an effect on you.
I don't think that's true. I think you're making that up.
Who's to say?
This is when I'm going to pitch your voice up when you say who's to say. So it gets really high.
That's offensive.
This is when Edith gives him the news that the tea set is staying with Veronica.
Yes. And before Veronica had left, Edith pointed out to her that Veronica really is Liz's next of kin. So that the tea set, though may not legally, so does rightfully belong to Veronica, which he now has to try and tell Archie, and he doesn't get it. And so watching Edith try and explain to Archie Liz's and Veronica's relationship without getting explicit was kind of, it was both painful and sweet.
We ain't taking the tea set. I'm gonna let Veronica keep it.
Why?
Because she deserves it.
Eat it, your Liz's closest living relation.
Veronica was even closer.
Sharing the rent ain't thicker than blood.
See, Veronica was closer to Cousin Liz than me or anybody else.
What the hell are you talking about? Veronica ain't even family.
Well, it's like, to me, you're family.
Say to me I'm family. You and me is married, Edie.
Well, Veronica and Cousin Liz was... like married.
But she does ultimately have to tell him, and Archie brandishes a hand gesture for gay that I had not seen before.
It looks like he's screwing in a light bulb.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how to read that either, but...
It's not as universal as the Mr. Furley or Mr. Roper's Tinkerbell hand gesture.
Right. Maybe those don't work for lesbians. Maybe those only work for gay men. I don't know.
Either way, I didn't know what it was supposed to mean. It was some sort of swooshing, I guess.
I thought of it like screwing in a light bulb like a handyman would, and lesbians are handy and they take care of themselves because like they are...
don't have a man.
They don't need a man.
Right.
Yeah. And this is where you get the whole Liz Les thing.
Yeah.
Which is a bad joke and I don't like it. And yeah, if she was Cousin Liz and they never mentioned that joke, I'd be okay with it. It's like, oh, like you had the restraint to not do the obvious joke. Good for you, but they go ahead and do it.
And then it goes into Archie having the typical reaction of, well, no wonder she wasn't interested in me.
Are you telling me that Liz and Veronica was... that beautiful girl that I kissed? Liz was 11? No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Edith, you must have caught something wrong. You heard something wrong. You got mixed up some way in this conversation you was having today with Veronica. Did you once hit a white queer?
You'll embarrass her.
Embarrass her? What about me? How do you think I feel knowing a deviation like that was running around on your side of the family? Now that I think of that girl, Liz.
Liz.
Same thing. No wonder when I kissed her, she wouldn't do more.
It's like a weird thing where at this point, mainstream culture maybe doesn't think two women kissing is hot, I guess, because Archie thinks it's gross that he kissed a lesbian, that he kissed a woman who liked women.
And then he's mad that Edith was trying to pair up his dead Jewish friend with Liz in heaven because she ain't even going to heaven.
Yeah.
Because she's gay. You get it?
Yeah. Yeah, that sucks.
You want me to fix her up with poor Stretch in heaven? She ain't even going to go to heaven.
Archie, Veronica and Cousin Liz loved each other. Like you and me.
Don't say that. Like you and me. Oh, Lord, help me. You are so naive about these things. I mean, don't you understand that there's a hell of a difference, in love and sex between people who have the same and different...
Archie, that part don't have nothing to do with it.
That part has everything to do with it, that part.
So Archie storms out of the room to tell Veronica she ain't getting that tea set.
They're back in the main room, and Archie's asking for the tea set at this point.
Okay. And all the other guests had left because I guess Archie had sent them away for some reason.
Probably because he wanted to, shake Veronica down for the fucking tea set at this point.
Yeah.
Edith says no, and he says, Archie responds, don't you understand that there's a hell of a difference between love and sex between people who are different? And he stops short of getting into, the nitty-gritty, so to speak, of it. And then he says, are you going to disobey your husband? And Edith says yes.
Turn around and march yourself in there, and you pick up your silver. Let's go home to New York.
No, I ain't gonna do that, Archie.
You mean you're gonna disobey your husband?
Yeah. Case closed. ghost.
And yeah, there's a pause.
Yeah,
yeah.
Edith also has a line against his argument, in which she says that part, meaning the genitals, has nothing to do with it, which I thought that was very sweet. You know, and Archie also brings out the god of it all in his argument.
All I want to say to you is that silverware over there is legally the property of my wife here.
She gave it to me.
Well, I don't think she knew what she was doing, and I think we can have this whole thing settled in a court.
Oh, no!
I think a judge ought to decide who gets that silver, huh?
I don't have to do that.
Well, if I bring it into court, you got to do it. Why don't we let a judge decide that?
I can't do that.
Why can't you do that?
Because I might lose my job.
What's your job got to do with the silverware over there? Oh. Suddenly. Because a judge wouldn't want to hear nothing about this Candlestine romance going on here. Oh, yes, you could get into a lot of trouble there. I could get her in a lot of trouble.
Archie, you wouldn't do that.
Well, she put the idea in my head. Why wouldn't I do that?
Didn't you hear it? She said she could lose her job.
Who the hell wants people like that teaching our kids? I'm sure God don't guard sitting in judgment.
Well, sure he is, but he's God. You ain't.
Again, Edith had a very good Christian and conservative response to that, that, again, seems to get lost when she says, he's God, you ain't. Because, you know, yeah, if you believe in that sort of thing, you should believe that judgment is up to God and not you, Archie Bunker.
Right. So Edith gets like two great moments, and this is stuff like this helps us to think that she's a very strong character and she's not the doormat you might think she is.
The argument that finally seems to work on Archie is when she says, she didn't hurt you, so why'd you want to hurt her? And that seems to get through to him.
Mm-hmm. So I can't believe you'd do anything that mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he has another long face. The camera is on his face. We're always considering this. And then he approaches Veronica and says,
all right, Veronica, don't worry. We ain't going to take into court.
And we ain't taking the tea set neither.
Couldn't you wait? And we ain't taking a tea set neither. But I gotta tell you one thing. I can't understand yous people at all. I mean, why don't yous all just stop that? You're a good-looking woman. Why don't you go out and get yourself a good-looking guy there and turn yourself around? Now, that is my advice to you, if you don't mind.
No, I don't mind. Thank you, Archie.
Well, Liz, didn't you get something out of that?
So I do kind of like the line he gives of, like, why can't, like, addressing Veronica and also gay people in general, like, why can't you people just stop that? Stop doing that. What do you make of her response?
I think she's charmed by his stupidity.
Okay.
Like, I think she understands that he's not going to have the same emotional reactions. Edith, this is about as far he's going to come. And she's just sort of like, I don't know. I think she's the relief of it all. She's willing to give him an inch.
That makes sense. Yeah. Maybe a little bit of like, oh, I see what's going on here. You're a dummy.
Well, also, like, the world is full of Archie Bunkers. Her world may be even more full of them. He is probably not the first bigot she has met. There's a reason why her and Liz live the way they do.
Right.
Not telling people. I don't know. I mean, this is a grief-stricken woman.
Like, mm-hmm. She's holding it together very well, yeah. Considering.
She does hug Archie.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, his reaction is that he thought that she should have felt something from that.
She does not.
No. And then he tries to steal the sugar cube tongs from the tea set.
Do you ever reach around for that at all? Because he's just like, what are those for? And she says, those are the tongs for sugar cubes. And he's like, those could be for ice cubes too. And then puts them in his jacket and runs away with them. So maybe he does actually steal the tongs.
I'd like to believe that Edith pried them away.
Tackles him. And
or even just like, even if he does get them home, I'm sure she would have mailed them.
Right. That makes sense. And Veronica retreats to the bedroom. End of episode.
Yep.
Yeah, this is a really good episode of TV.
Yep.
I'm glad we talked about it. And yeah, I keep saying simple, but like there is no B plot. It is essentially two scenes. It is so elegantly done in its simplicity.
Yeah, it's well written, well acted.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, timeless. Like these are arguments that we still have to have with people.
Mm-hmm.
Fun.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are still federal employees that have to worry about whether or not they will lose their jobs because they are gay.
Or school teachers at non-public schools.
Yes.
Yeah, which is fucked up. This does not have, in a good way, it doesn't hit like the previous All in the Family did. That one is prickly and complicated. And the conversation between Archie and his photographer friend, like the news that Archie's friend is gay drops like a bomb. And this one is, I guess it's Edith. It just drops differently. And it has an entirely different emotional impact. Still a very good episode.
Yeah.
That may be all I have to say.
I got nothing else.
Okay. Glenn, if people want to yell at you about my take on All in the Family, what Twitter handle should they yell at?
I Write Wrongs. That is the letter I, WRITE, and then wrongs. And if you would like to send me screen caps of your angry messages to Drew, you can find me on Instagram at broscourts, B-R-O-S, courts.
And you can find me on Twitter at Drew G. Mackey, M-A-C-K-I-E. I'm on Instagram, too, at KDecorous222. Mostly dog pictures.
Yeah,
mostly dog pictures. You can follow this podcast on Twitter at Gayest Episode and listen to all previous episodes at GayestEpisodeEver.com. Please give us a rate and review. Those are super helpful. And we will be reading reviews as they come in future episodes. As we said earlier, we have a Patreon. Patreon helps us get this episode done on a week-to-week basis. And if we get enough sponsors, it'll help bring out a secret podcast, which I think we are narrowed in on selecting a topic for that I'm very excited about. Glenn, you're also excited.
I don't feel excitement, but yes.
You're on your phone already.
Yeah.
You're done?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, I can be doing two things at once. Maybe actually, I'm writing notes about the future secret podcast.
Is that what you're doing?
Yes.
Okay. Go to patreon.com/gayestepisodeever to give us a little bit of money. We'd appreciate it. This is a Table Cakes podcast. Nope. Our logo was designed by Rob Wilson. See his cool stuff at robwilsonwork.com. I think I said earlier, we have transcriptions of earlier episodes. Those transcriptions are being done by Sarah Neal, who's doing a very good job. If you want to see her work, go to the first four episodes of the show. Those show pages all have links to the transcription. And if you want to hire Sarah to do transcribing that you need done, go to therapytranscripts.com. This is a Table Cakes podcast. Table Cakes is a Los Angeles-based podcast network. And if you'd like to see what's going on with their other shows, go to tablecakes.com. There's too many things to remember.
Most people have stopped listening anyway.
Oh, do you think people are not listening anymore?
Yeah, people stopped listening.
What?
Hi, people. You are not listening.
Oh, yeah. Oh, because we just say anything right here.
Yep.
Do you have a sexy secret you want to reveal to our listeners who've made it this far?
No, none of my secrets are sexy.
That's not true. That can't be true.
Have you ever slept with a celebrity, Drew?
Define celebrity.
I know the answer.
So are you considering that person a celebrity?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, celebrity.
Yes.
Anyway, this is just making the podcast too long now. No one cares about our secrets. They just care about podcast length.
We'll see in the social media response if people care about this, because maybe if you ask nicely, I'll tell you. Actually, it could be two people.
I'd rather you not tell our listeners about the celebrities you slept with.
It's just the two. Is there any more? No, I guess that's it. They're celebrities for the world we live in, I guess.
Yeah. There's probably people I've slept with who will become celebrities when they snap and like do very bad things.
Or get their big break.
Yeah. That's probably also possible.
Okay. Podcast over.
Bye forever. Blind.
a Table Cakes production.